Kim Lawton is the managing editor and correspondent for the important PBS program Religion and Ethics News Weekly. Having spent many years covering these important issues, Kim brings an expertise that I think is essential as we work to watch out for inappropriate influences of religion on our politics and politics on religion as well. Kim, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much.
Have you found this election cycle to be less or more impacted by religious language or context than previous races?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of it already, although I have to say this is the time, I think, in the cycle when you tend to get a lot of it. You know, not a lot of folks are paying attention on one hand, and on the other hand, these candidates are trying to do their best to rally the core groups that they need going into the primaries. So this is often a time when it happens. It just usually happens under the radar, and I think this time around, for a variety of reasons, there's been a little more attention to it. But, you know, we always have these various questions, you know, and answers by the candidates. Jesus is my best friend, you know, Jesus saved me. We do seem to have a lot of candidates this time around. And again, the sheer number of them, I think, is another factor. We have so many of them, and each one making these kind of appeals.
So, Kim, what challenges do you think news media face in trying to be responsible in addressing religion and politics?
Well, it's always a tricky line, and obviously this is an area that I cover and I've covered a long time, and there are some tough calls that you have to make, because as a reporter, I do think it's important that we find out basic information about a candidate that helps us as voters maybe know how a candidate might think or how he or she might make a decision. What are the priorities and the factors that they crank into those equations? I think those are valid questions, and I think religion plays into that. If that candidate is asking me to get to know them, it's legitimate for me to say, well, you've talked about your religious journey. How does it affect your life? How does it affect your policies? You know, how does it affect your character, you as a person? I think that's legitimate. But the tricky part is not getting into creating some kind of a litmus test, a religious litmus test for office, which is, of course, something that, you know, is against our constitutional values. You know, we don't want to get to a situation where the most devout candidate wins the election, or, and we don't necessarily want to give a platform for candidates to make those kind of claims. But, you know, one of the tricky things is the question that came up in the first GOP debate about, you know, do you hear a word from God? And the question was to tell you what to do first or something. And I think what the questioner was trying to get at is, you know, maybe does God speak to you or in some way influence your priorities? Now, how that got interpreted by the questioner was, do you hear a word from God? You know, and, and that seemed to really offend a lot of people. And the candidates certainly used it for their own purposes religiously. But, you know, it's sort of an interesting question. If you're a person who receives guidance from God, if you were president of the United States, how might that affect your policies? So I think some of the lines are tricky and hard to figure out.
Kim, in dealing with religion responsibly, and I know you want to do that, do you all talk about what kind of challenges you have to face in dealing with religion and politics? And if so, what are some of the things you say to your staff out of your long experience about, we've got to get this right?
For us, I think the number one principle is we are journalists, and we don't want to in any way become advocates, and that's for politics, but it's also for any particular religious point of view. I mean, our guiding principle for our program is that we consider religion a very important part of life for many people, and we know that it has a very strong impact on a lot of people. We understand understand that and believe that, but we don't advocate for any one particular strain of religion. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, that's number one. We just want to make sure that we're not in any way promoting or disagreeing with anyone's particular religious beliefs. And so that's, I think, the most important thing. And then, yeah, just trying to think about what would this question accomplish? Does this help us learn more about the candidate, or does this cross some kind of line? And I do think there are personal religious beliefs and practices that are private. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, you know, there was some talk when Mitt Romney was running for president, and members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will have special undergarments that are used in certain sacramental ways. Is it appropriate to ask Mitt Romney about that? I would have said absolutely not. That's not about how that would affect his potential political or governing abilities. That's something that's personal and private. Mm-hmm. So some of those, you know, when Sarah Palin was running and she's part of the Assemblies of God, they speak in tongues. Is that germane to whether or not she'd make a good president? Questions like that, I think, are apart from the bound, but how your beliefs may affect your politics, how your beliefs may affect how you govern, I think that is appropriate.
Mm-hmm. As Americans have grown more diverse, do you think viewers of your program are more savvy than they used to be when it comes to different religions? Does that affect how you cover religion news today?
Well, I hope after watching our program for all these years that we have helped some people maybe become a little more savvy, a little more knowledgeable about faiths different from their own. Sometimes I wonder when I read the comments from the viewers, but we do try to present, you know, many different points of view. And I do think that because of the diversity in the country, there is interest among our viewers about what different groups believe or have to say about certain things or how they practice, what their rituals are. And that is one of the hallmarks of what we do. You know, sometimes it even happens within a faith, so that among Christians, sometimes I think people don't always know what other Christians believe, mm-hmm. or there's not just one form of Christianity. It's hard as a journalist, though, because you never know how much knowledge to presume. Mm-hmm. So when I'm writing a story, do I need to explain what the gospel is? Do I need mm-hmm. to explain the book of Matthew or, you know, something like that? Some of the language that we use, we try to do something that is approachable by people that don't have a vast knowledge of religion, but we don't want to dumb it down so it's, you know, religion for dummies, for mm-hmm. people who do know more about religion. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's a little difficult to figure out. How do I write something that people can understand no matter what their level of religious knowledge may be?
Mm-hmm. When I went to Washington to deal with religion and politics at the intersection of those two, it was like pulling teeth to get mainline journalists to write stories about religion at all. They didn't want to deal with religion and politics until we got really late in the last administration of President Clinton. And then, of course, after the turn of the century, we saw a lot of that. What is your take on the way mainstream journalists handle religion stories now?
Well, I think there has been an evolution. It is interesting. I mean, our program went on the air, if you can believe this or not, 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we did so because we did see a gap that this is this really important area of life, religion is. And many people, most people in the mainstream media, especially broadcast, especially television, really didn't pay attention to it. They really didn't cover it. And that's part of the reason why we came into being, to step into that gap. Today, I think you see more of it. What concerns me is it's often done by people who don't know that much about religion themselves. Mm. And there's always a debate. You know, as a journalist, I'm supposed to be able to be really good about covering a lot of different things and know a little about a whole lot of things. But with religion, there are some really particular things that people need to know. And especially in some of those early days you were just talking about, mm-hmm. I would see coverage coverage about religion. When religion would enter the public square, it was like some of these reporters had no idea how to handle it. And the ignorance that they showed in covering it was pretty amazing. I think some of that literacy has improved, but it is a problem. My biggest concern right now, though, is just whether there's support within the newsrooms to continue religious coverage. I mean, in so many of these newsrooms, there's budget cut after budget cut after budget cut, and so many of us are feeling that pinch. And a lot of editors and managers, I think, are looking at the different beats and saying, wow, do we really need somebody special just to cover religion? Anybody can cover religion. And I like to think that there is a specialty to it, just like you wouldn't have just anybody cover the business beat or even the sports beat. So I hope that the news media in general keeps people who are specialists, who do know this beat and know how to cover it. I'm also troubled by another trend I see, even among some of the outlets that do cover religion, and I think that's great, but so much of that is commentary and opinion and even analysis, and it's not straightforward reporting of religion. And there's a place, absolutely, for editorializing and commentaries and all of that, but I'm worried that we're losing the value of the news story that's checked out, that's balanced, that's, you know, done by people who are real journalists. And that troubles me that, you know, a lot of the websites and everything that, that focus on religion, again, that's terrific, but I'm hoping they don't sacrifice reporting, especially these days, as you say, when it is so important.
Kim, are there one or two religion stories that so far this year you feel have been either unreported or underreported in the mainstream process?
Well, we've seen reporting about the rise of religiously unaffiliated people here in this country, and that's a very interesting trend. More and more people unwilling to say, I identify with this particular religion. Many of those people say, oh, I'm still spiritual or in some way believe in a higher power, but I'm just not organizing myself with this particular organized religion. I think that's very interesting, but one story that people aren't looking at is how then some of these institutional organizations, religious groups are trying to deal with that. Is that affecting them? Is that making them change how they do business, how they reach out, how they sort of advertise for themselves? So I do think those are areas that are really interesting. Certainly the interfaith relations, I think, is an interesting story, not new this year, but you hear about the problems and the hostilities and the negative things, but we don't hear as much about groups coming together. Even on the after in the wake of Ferguson, I saw a lot of white faith-based groups and African-American faith-based groups coming together for some really tough conversations about race, privilege, justice, policing, those kinds of issues. So I think while we feel very polarized sometimes, there are places where people are coming together on different levels, and maybe that hasn't been explored as much as it should be.
Are there some themes in the world of religion and ethics that, in your opinion, we're going to need to keep a particularly close eye on in the next 6 months to 12 months?
I do think extremism is a concern because we look overseas, we see ISIS, of course, and so much of the stuff that's going around there. How is that affecting people here, Muslims here, but also non-Muslims who watch all of that? And how does that affect relations in local communities? That's one area. Also, we're seeing extremism as a problem for the Jewish community right now. And in Israel, there's having to be a crackdown against extremism because of a wave of hate crimes there. And as we're in now, as we started this conversation talking about the political cranking up of the electoral season, I do worry about the polarization and just the language that comes out, as it always does in this season, and, you know, how does that affect us as citizens? I'm interested in Pope Francis. Obviously, everybody's interested in Pope Francis, but his upcoming trip to the U.S. and some of the themes he's been striking, Those are very interesting and having a big impact well beyond the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. I'm working on a story now about Jewish environmentalists who are so inspired by Pope Francis's papal encyclical. I mean, my goodness, when was the last time anybody in the Catholic Church read an encyclical, much less somebody in the Jewish community? So all of these things are going on. It's a very interesting and very robust time to be covering religion, that's for sure.
What made you want to be a journalist? And tell me about how you feel about what you're doing now and what's most rewarding to you, Kim Lawton?
You know, it's sort of interesting. I didn't start out wanting to be a journalist. My family read, we had the newspaper, we watched the evening news. I don't know why, that was never a dream for me as a kid. But I wanted to see the world. I had this travel bug, and I wanted to go to interesting places and talk to interesting people. And it wasn't until my junior year in college when I was sort of flailing about trying to figure out what I wanted to do for a major, and I got put in some communications classes, and I got an internship, actually, in Washington, D.C. I just wanted to come to Washington, D.C., but I got an internship working at a radio news network, and it was exciting to me to be right there when things were happening and to be telling people about that. So that was sort of the impetus for becoming a journalist. I changed my major and did that. But then when my first job, I was a general assignment reporter, but there was just a lot going on in the world having to do with religion. And nobody else in the newsroom, A, knew about religion, or B, cared about it. And I was the newbie, so that became my story. So Billy Graham came to town for a visit. That became my story when, okay, now this is going to date me. Jews were protesting in front of the Soviet embassy back in the day. That became my story. And the more I did it, the more I found it interesting. And it just sort of became my beat. And it has been ever since. And I have to say, it is very rewarding. I mean, all these many, many years later, I still like covering religion. I tell people, when I cover religion, or because I cover religion, I cover war, I cover peace, I cover arts and movies and sports and foreign affairs and court cases and people's, you know, individual lives. And I meet really interesting people motivated by really, you know, sometimes interesting motivations, sometimes for good, sometimes for ill. And it just is still very exciting to be part of that beat.
Kim Lawton is the managing editor and correspondent for the important PBS program Religion and Ethics News Weekly. Kim, I really want to thank you for what you've done across the years, and I want to thank you especially for taking time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you talking to me.